On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
It's 5 o'clock. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, Minister Simon Harris says he's hopeful pubs and restaurants will be open for the summer. There has been an influx of bookings from the Republic for a hair salon in County Fermanagh. Hairdressers and barbers prepare to open on Friday north of the border. Sinn Féin says the EU shouldn't cut off its nose despite its face by ending its association with AstraZeneca. €75 million in funding has been announced to transform vacant rural buildings into remote working hubs, and three Donegal projects are to share €21.3 million under the Rural Regeneration Programme. We'll hear from all three areas. And later in the bulletin, Oisin is here with the sports news. That's coming up at around 5:15. But first, this evening, Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy this evening. Management say it's as a result of ongoing pressure on bed availability. Management are urging people to attend the emergency department only in the case of real emergencies. They say people should contact their GP during normal surgery hours or the NowDoc GP out-of-hours service in the first instance. They say my hospital is committed to treating everyone who presents at the emergency department, but does so strictly in order of medical priority and apologises for the long wait times. Today's statement also asks that patients wear a mask or face covering and that they wait in the emergency department alone to help the hospital maintain social distancing. A companion will only be permitted in exceptional circumstances. The hospital acknowledges this can be difficult, but says it's necessary to minimise the risk of infection and to keep everyone safe. Minister Simon Harris says he's hopeful pubs and restaurants will be open for the summer. At next week's Cabinet meeting, ministers will consider the plan for reopening over the coming months. Retail and personal services are set to return in May, alongside the full reopening of the construction sector. Minister Harris is hopeful that hospitality can have a similar summer to last year's.
You know, last year people were able to enjoy staycations in our country. We were able to enjoy hospitality in our country. We had to do it with certain restrictions and rules. I would be very hopeful that we'll see a similar pattern this year, considering the case numbers are now falling, the hospital numbers are falling, plus we have something this year that we didn't have last year, which is the benefit of vaccination.
There's been an influx of bookings from the Republic for a hair salon in County Fermanagh. Hairdressers and barbers are opening on Friday in Northern Ireland. So far, there's no date yet set for the Republic. 20% of Daniel Anthony's clientele in Enniskillen are from south of the border. Daniel McCrossan is the owner. He says there are no specific guidelines in place for clients who cross the border.
Not at the moment, though. We have no guidelines or nothing in that area at all. We would have just basically our clients who we do a temperature check to on arrival and would request that they wear masks and all in the salon. And to for protection of our staff as well, like to. And so there are so many guidelines that we'd be following, really. The booking, a lot of our bookings is online as well, like, so we don't actually question how they're going to get our length, but you'll be looking at the treatments and more so in the area they're from or how they're going to get to us, sort of thing. Like, we leave that up to the client.
Well, 79 new cases of COVID-19 have been confirmed north of the border today with no additional COVID-related deaths. 69 patients are being treated in hospitals for the disease in Northern Ireland. There are 8 people in ICU. Ireland could be in line to receive over 1 million extra doses of the Pfizer COVID vaccine this year. It's after the EU decided to exercise its option to buy an additional 100 million doses of the jab. It brings the total number to be delivered to the EU to 600 million. Pfizer's chief executive says the company remains committed to moving as quickly and safely as possible to bring the vaccine to more people in Europe. Well, Sinn Féin says the EU shouldn't cut off its nose despite its face by ending its association with AstraZeneca. The company has repeatedly failed to deliver the number of COVID vaccines it promised to the bloc. In a letter to the Oireachtas Health Committee, it pledges to improve. While EU leaders say they may not order any more vaccines from AstraZeneca, David Cullinan says that would be a mistake.
I think it should remain part of the solution and part of the overall offering. We need to bolster the supply chain, notwithstanding problems that we've had with AstraZeneca. If the regulators and the European Medicines Agency see it as a safe vaccine, notwithstanding rare side effects, and if it's part of the overall solution, I think we need to keep all options open and not cut our nose off despite our face.
Other news, and €75 million in funding has been announced to transform vacant rural buildings into remote working hubs. The move comes as NUIG and the Western Development Commission launched their third national remote working survey. With more, here's Mairead Cleary.
The next step of the remote working plan aims to breathe new life into rural areas by creating remote working hubs in its vacant buildings. Rural Development Minister Heather Humphreys says once great buildings will be repurposed for modern needs.
Old hotels, old convents, and indeed old market houses, they're lying empty. So this money is going to help regenerate those buildings.
Huckletree Collaborative Working Space on Pier Street in Dublin sits inside the Academy, which once held a 800-seat concert hall. Co-founder of Huckletree, Andrew Lynch, prefers the historic building to neighbouring modern designs.
Dublin culture kind of ingrained in the Huckletree building, and maybe a little bit more so than a kind of a big glass box office down on the docks.
Meanwhile, the third national remote working survey has been launched today. Chief Executive of the Western Commission, Tomás O'Shea Conn, says the previous two surveys shows a need for high quality hubs.
So it certainly isn't a scenario where people who are working at the end of the bed or working at their kitchen table really are in a position to do good work.
The survey is available on NUI Galway's website.
Well, it's been confirmed that three Donegal projects will share €21.3 million under the Rural Regeneration Programme. That's the largest allocation in the country. It's been widely welcomed. €18 million of the funding has been sanctioned by central government, with match funding being provided by Donegal County Council. Carn Donagh will receive just over €9.5 million for the Thusnua Regeneration Project for the regeneration of the town centre. Local councillor Albert Doherty is Cathaoirleach of Inishowen Municipal District.
Carn Donagh was selected in the past as one of seven strategic towns, and those reports adopted 2018, I would have highlighted amongst them that Carn Donagh Town Centre had issues with vacancy, had issues with dereliction, and was in need of regeneration. And today the regeneration request has been well served with this financial input. We have a significant building that played a vital role in our economic ventures in the past, namely McDonough's, that will now serve as the focal point for development, refurbishment, redevelopment, and indeed next door across the road we have our plaza, but next door to McDonough's we will see the demise of the public building that was the Leprechaun. But even though the Leprechaun goes, it's leaving a crock of gold for Carn Donagh.
Well, €9.7 million has been allocated to Ballybofey Stranorer's seed project for the large-scale regeneration of the area. Lifford Stranorer councillor Martin Harley says Donegal County Council has been very proactive in preparing for the programme.
In fairness to Donegal County Council, set up this unit in 2015, seven strategic towns in the county were put in place. Great work done. It's vital now that we move along with it as quickly as possible. With the Clontarf bypass coming down the road, and what's the fact that on a national level, there's 24% of vacant units within the one town. So this was vital that we had this project.
As you've said, the council has had this special unit looking at this in place for quite some time. The plans are there. A lot of the permissions are there. You'd be anticipating a fairly speedy start to the actual construction on what needs to be done here.
Yeah, because it's three or four different phases. Talking about taking away, as we call it, the McElhenney's car park in front of the shopping centre, building a multi-storey car park behind that and the grounds that are there, the development of the Ritz Cinema into a remote working hub. We were talking in this conversation 15 months ago. Remote working wouldn't have been one of the conversations we've been having. So this is vital that we move along with this now, and we can get people back living in the town again. That's just so important.
Meanwhile, €2 million has been set aside for harbour redevelopment at Burton Port and surrounding areas. However, a West Donegal councillor believes different design options should have been explored there. Councillor Micheál Colmigal-Asbag says the development was rushed through. He says there should have been more public consultation. The money will go toward the construction of two new buildings, including a new ferry terminal building, to support the area becoming a modern, sustainable harbour. However, Councillor Micheál-Asbag says the design of the project didn't take into account the area's heritage.
Certainly welcome that funding's been got for you, Al-Chakharan. This has been long waited for, and recognising the work of those within the council and the community who has worked at this. It's just what I felt at the time And I still believe it. And I spoke this morning to the council about my views on it. I just felt at the time that the council moved far too quickly. I never thought I'd see the day I'd be saying that. We should have looked at different options in terms of design and the development of that area. I just feel that it's not in keeping with the heritage of the area. I know there's a good few others who share that view as well. There's quite a lot of historical buildings there. I believe that we could have done maybe a wee bit more public consultation.
And what would you have liked to have seen in its place? As I'm sure those in Burton Port are welcoming any kind of funding, as you say, it's an area that has been neglected.
Yes, well, it's just in terms of the design, I felt that it was far too modern for an area that is very historical and has huge heritage. I just felt that there was a very quick move by those who designed it, without maybe looking at other options, more traditional options, and maybe looking at the other buildings that are there that are now going to be knocked down, and maybe other people's views in relation to some of them and buildings. And I just felt, like I said, that we moved just that wee bit too quick and could have spent a wee bit more time and discussion with the wider community.
Councillor Micheál Conamaglasbig there. Four regional airports have been awarded over €11 million to help them recover from the pandemic. Shannon Airport has been allocated just over €6.3 million. That's the largest amount. Donegal, Ireland West and Kerry airports share nearly €5 million. Just over 900,000 will go to Donegal. It's for capital developments in areas particularly related to security and safety. Junior Transport Minister Hildegard Nocton says the state funding is badly needed after what's been a difficult year.
Today's funding is for capital allocations, which will enable our airports, for example, to put in place replacement vehicles, replacement airfield and external lighting, new safety and security systems. But later in the year, we'll also be allocating more operational funding. And that work has already begun within the department, asking the airports to put forward their applications around that.
The Cathaoirleach of Letterkenny Milford Municipal District has issued an urgent appeal for information following an incident of criminal damage at Ballymacool Park in Letterkenny over the weekend. An area of the park was set on fire at around 20 past 8 on Saturday evening, with damage caused to fencing and surrounding vegetation and hedges as a result. No arrests have been made. Gardaí say their investigations are ongoing. Councillor Donal Coyle says such activity is not welcome.
To me, it seems like an act of wanton vandalism, and it's a pity to see that, like, you know, in a place that, you know, that is used by so many people and a great asset to the town, and it's something that we don't want to see in our town. And I would make an appeal this morning to anybody with any information to give it to the Gardaí immediately.
This is further impounding the incident which happened at the town park last. We don't know if these are linked, but it's deeply disturbing to see such incidents within the town.
It's a pity to see that, you know, and apart from anything else, we're coming into a time of year now, like, you know, where fires can spread very rapidly, you know, and the danger to that. But it's a pity to see the likes of that happening in our town. And I would appeal to anybody with information to give it to the Gardaí.
The Bishop of Raphoe has confirmed that the diocese is fully cooperating with Gardaí and Tusla regarding the case of a retired priest of the diocese being charged with assaulting two minors in the 1970s. It's understood the 85-year-old retired priest has been released on bail after being charged with 26 counts of indecent assault between 1972 and 1975. Speaking today, Bishop Alan McGuckian encouraged anyone who may be a victim of abuse within a church setting to contact the relevant authorities.
I can say nothing about any case that is before the court, but I have to say that while hearing of these things is always sad and tragic, perhaps one advantage of it being on the airwaves is that somebody who is carrying a history of abuse in their own lives, and particularly I would say that if there is anybody listening to this who was abused within a church setting, I would strongly encourage them that now might be the time for them to speak.
And can they do so in the knowledge that the diocese will cooperate fully with Gardaí and Tusla if necessary?
The Gardaí, most certainly, anybody who contacts the diocese will first of all be received with great respect and welcome, and they will know that we will be cooperating fully with the Garda and with Justin.
Sport on Highland, brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure. Gear up on all the training essentials at michaelmurphysports.ie with nationwide next day delivery.
It's 60 minutes past five. Time for sports news. We say good evening to Washington Kelly.
Thanks, Donal. UEFA's president has warned players from clubs involved in the proposed European Super League that they could be banned from all of their competitions. He described the plans as disgraceful and self-serving. Alexander Sheffrin says the governing body will stop players from representing their countries at major tournaments. England all-time leading scorer Wayne Rooney admits that's something he'd be upset about.
I certainly wouldn't give up playing for my country. I'm hugely honoured in playing for my country. So, but listen, I think there's going to be a lot of comments, a lot of anger. I think what's important is we see actually what does come out and what gets released, because it might be a lot of wasted words.
Well, the Breakaway League has reportedly already informed UEFA and FIFA they've begun legal action of their own to fend off such blockades. Well, two former Champions League winners have announced that they turned down invitations to join the Super League. 2004 winners Porto and 1997 winners Borussia Dortmund have confirmed that they will not be joining the 12 clubs from the Premier League, La Liga and Serie A in the breakaway competition. Southampton boss Ralf Hasenhüttl is very, very concerned by the move.
This is, in my opinion, it's a movement, selfish, harmful, risky for football and with unpredictable consequences. And many, many questions are unanswered.
Well, in the middle of all this European Super League madness, UEFA has given the green light to a radical overhaul of the Champions League from 2024. The tournament will be expanded to 36 teams and played using a Swiss model where every team is guaranteed 10 games. President Sheffrin says it will protect the European game from a tiny self-selected cartel. Tottenham have sacked manager Jose Mourinho after a year and a half in charge. They've parted ways just 6 days before a League Cup final with Manchester City and hours after announcing their intention to form a European Super League. But Spurs have dropped to seventh in the Premier League. These Spurs fans can't agree on whether or not it was the right call.
I think he just needed a bit more backing from the board, because the one constant with Tottenham is the board don't back their managers enough.
He was no good for this club. I mean, 51 years have been coming over here, and that's the most shocking football I've seen.
I think his team selections haven't always been the best, but does the blame lie on him? I don't think so.
Liverpool know a win at Leeds tonight will take them back into the Premier League's top four. Jurgen Klopp's side have fallen out of contention for the Champions League following their faltering title defence. But after three wins in a row in the top flight, the Liverpool manager senses things might be about to change.
Yes, we are under pressure, like everybody can imagine, in a sense of we want to finish in the top four, but we don't know in the moment if we will. But we have seven games to prove that point, and that's what we try.
Kickoff tonight is at 8 o'clock. Dublin is set to learn its Euro 2020 fate on Friday. Earlier this month, the FAI informed UEFA could not guarantee the Aviva Stadium could operate at 25% capacity for its four matches. The matter was discussed at today's UEFA Executive Committee meeting, with a final decision due later in the week. All-Ireland hurling champions Limerick have been drawn against Cork in the semi-finals of the Munster Championship. Waterford and Clare will meet in the quarter-finals for the right to play Tipperary in the last four. Meanwhile, Cork and Kerry are on opposite sides of the Munster Football Championship draw. Defending champions Tipperary will face either Kerry or Clare in the semi-finals, while Cork await the winners of the quarter-final meeting between Waterford and Limerick. Tomorrow, of course, will be day two of the draws. The Ulster province draw will take place tomorrow evening on national television. In snooker, John Higgins trails Tyann Pinkfey by 7-5 in their World Championship first round match, while on the other table, Ali Carter and Jack Lisowski are level at 3 frames apiece. Just finally, we go back to soccer. Derry City fans, and indeed football supporters generally, are set for a treat tonight on BBC Northern Ireland as a new film about the Northwest club entitled Different League, the Derry City story, will be broadcast. Different League is telling the story of the events around 1972 that saw the club exiled from the Irish League. I think it's underway tonight
at 9 o'clock. That's your sport, Donal. We'll have more for you tomorrow morning.
Thank you, Oisin. A Strabane councillor believes someone will be seriously injured or worse unless antisocial behaviour in the town is brought under control. It comes after a 17-year-old girl was assaulted in the Meadows area on Friday night. A video has been circulating on social media depicting the incident and showing the victim lying unconscious. A 17-year-old girl and an 18-year-old male were arrested on suspicion of offences, but they've since been released on bail, pending further inquiries. Local councillor Raymond Barr says Friday's attack was sickening thuggery.
There's been a lot of antisocial behaviour about Strabane over the last few months, you know, and there can be many reasons and causes of antisocial behaviour, you know, poor education, child poverty, worklessness, social deprivation, and all these factors are synonymous with Strabane and have been for many decades. And yes, those problems need to be addressed, but what happened in the town on Friday evening was a different level, the antisocial behaviour.
The founder and former chief executive of the Limerick-based charity Boher, Peter Arton, was found dead at his home in Limerick this morning. Mr. Arton's body was discovered in the back garden of the house in Castle Troy at around 8 o'clock. Gardaí aren't treating the death as suspicious. According to a report last week, Boher was conducting an internal investigation into financial transactions involving Mr. Arton. The 68-year-old had denied any impropriety. And laws which prevent the identification of murdered children should be scrapped within the next 2 weeks. This afternoon, a bill of amendments to Section 252 of the Children's Act passed all stages in the Shannon. Once enacted by the President, the law will once again allow parents of murdered children to grieve for them publicly. And people across Donegal who may have information relating to chough birds are being asked to take part in a national survey. The survey has been carried out by KRC Ecological and ALC Nature on behalf of National Parks and Wildlife between now and July. Independent consultant Kendrew Colquhoun is conducting the survey. He's been outlining where the choughs might be sighted.
Choughs are a very special, rare bird. They're a mostly coastal and mountainous crow. And they're not your average crow because they've got a red decurved bill and red legs. And our job on behalf of National Parks and Wildlife Service is to coordinate what is quite a mammoth survey everywhere from Inishowen Head in obviously our part of the world, Donegal, right round to the Salty Islands and Wexford.
The survey team, they are very keen to hear about any observations that people might have of these birds. Particularly within Donegal, these birds are associated with coastal fringes. Where should the public be directing their attention when looking to sight these birds?
Absolutely right. So they're, you know, surveying are quite difficult, you know, if you go along the Inishowen coastline, for example, or right the way around to Slieve Lake and so on in the southwest. These birds are hanging around, but you know they're not the most obvious things in the world. You know, they're a flying blackbird, and people wouldn't necessarily pick them up. But where the public will quite often see them is areas that we mightn't as surveyors, and that is because some farmers and people living along the coastline have them actually built nesting in on the farmyards. Mm-hmm. So increasingly, so these birds are actually nesting in an old abandoned farmhouse, and sometimes that can be a kilometre or two from the coastline. And we obviously can't survey everywhere, so where the public can really be helpful here, you know, the landowning community, is to report these observations of things that we mightn't know are going on.
And there's more on that, plus hints on identifying the birds and indeed pictures on our website, highlandradio.com. Looking at the weather forecast for this Monday evening, and Met Aaron tell us it'll stay generally cloudy with rain and drizzle spreading across the region into the evening. Later on tonight, it'll be overcast with scattered outbreaks of rain and drizzle. Lowest temperatures 5 to 7 in a light southerly or variable breeze. Dull and cloudy to start tomorrow with scattered patches of rain and drizzle that will gradually ease through the afternoon. Some brighter sunny spells developing toward tomorrow evening in highest temperatures of 9 to 11 degrees Celsius in a light variable breeze, becoming light to moderate northerly through tomorrow afternoon. And that's Highland Radio News for now. News in brief, Letterkenny University Hospital is extremely busy this afternoon. Management say it's putting pressure on bed availability. People are being urged only to attend the emergency department in cases of real emergency. Minister Simon Harris says he's hopeful pubs and restaurants will reopen for the summer. He's predicting a summer similar to what we had in 2020. There's been an influx of bookings, meanwhile, from the Republic for a hair salon in County Fermanagh. The salon in Enniskillen says 20% of their clientele come from across the border. Meanwhile, 79 new cases of of COVID-19 were confirmed north of the border today. Ireland could be in line to receive over 1 million extra doses of the Pfizer COVID vaccine. €75 million nationally in funding to transform rural buildings into working hubs, with Donegal receiving €21.3 million under the Rural Regeneration Programme. We're back with news again at 6 o'clock. Good evening. The obituary notices for this Monday evening, the 19th of April. The death has occurred of Frances Williams, née Quinn, 28 Railway Road, Killigordon. Funeral from her home on Wednesday morning at 10:30 for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock in St Patrick's Church Crossroads, Killigordon. Interment afterwards in the adjoining churchyard. Requiem Mass will be streamed live on St Patrick's Church Crossroads, Killigordon Facebook page. In compliance with current HSE and government guidelines, the house funeral and burial will be strictly private to immediate family only, please. The death has taken place of Margaret McLaughlin, the Thistle, Clonbeg, Buncrana and formerly of Glasgow, Scotland. Margaret's remains are reposing at her late residence with wake strictly private on the wishes of the deceased. Funeral Mass on Wednesday morning at 10 o'clock in St Mary's Church, Cockhill, with burial afterwards in the adjoining graveyard. Due to HSE and government guidelines, house funeral and interment will be private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The death has taken place of Bridget MacDade, Maharinall, Isle of Doe, Clonmany. Funeral will take place tomorrow morning in St Mary's Church, Clonmany at 11 o'clock, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu if desired to St Columbkill Village, care of any family member or Comiskey Funeral Directors. Due to HSE and government guidelines, wake and funeral are strictly private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. Funeral Mass can be viewed live on churchservices.tv/Clonmany. The death has occurred of Mary Boyle, Mulla Duff. Her remains are reposing in Midlands Funeral Home. Her remains are en route to Star of the Sea Church, Annagree, for 6 o'clock, where she'll repose overnight. Funeral Mass tomorrow at 12 noon, with interment afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Due to HSC and government guidelines, wake, funeral and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. The funeral can be viewed on the Annagree Parish Facebook page. And the death has taken place of Pat Malloy, Tangaveen, Dunlow. Funeral Mass in St Cronus Church, Dunlow, tomorrow at 11 with burial in Mahari Cemetery. Funeral cortege will travel via Clockwally and Diamond Road. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Irish Cancer Society, care of any family member or Midlands Funeral Directors. Funeral Mass can be viewed on mcnmedia.tv/cameras/parish of Dunlow, County Donegal. Due to HSC and government guidelines, the wake, mass and interment are private to family only, please, with a maximum of 10 people permitted. And the death has taken place in Lichfield, England, of Gladys Tracy, wife of the late Peter Tracy, Letterkenny. Funeral arrangements will be confirmed later.